for Shuswick, Malkin, and Sam, thank you for putting together the program again. At the end of the Haftorah, Yirmiyahu calls for Mekononos and Chachamos. Mekononos, women who know how to wail. Chachamos, women of wisdom. Abarbanel explains, and it's based on the Gemara in Moed Katan, that these are actually professional mourners. He says, "Hein hanashim shomnuseyan lisvodu lekonin al hanesim." These are women whose trade was to eulogize and to wail for the dead. And the chachamos, he said, are nashim chachamos bechachmas ahesped behakina, women who are wise in the ways of eulogy. Sheyodos lasos charuzim. They knew how to make lyrics, poems, mikinos. Pitom misyachsos lechol davara. When a terrible event took place, they knew how to compose an elegy that would refer to the tragedy that happened. And the idea of the mekonei, the idea of the masbid, really, the person who's going to do this, is to try to inspire people to greater grief. And so when we look at a professional skina, we would look for something with more colorful, dramatic, poetic language. We look for illustrations, things that will draw the heart. We look for a message that reflects the emotions that are in people's hearts beyond the cliches that are usually invoked at a time of loss. And Shavasuru, as Sam said, is from one of the greatest early Paitanim, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, and I believe that his goal with this kina was to do exactly that. His goal with this kina was to take the last 8 psukim from Gilas Eicha and to bring them to life by adding images and by adding meaning. Most of the traditional commentary, at least that I've seen on Shavasuru, centers on certain key words that he uses, the word Shavas in the opening, the idea of Chil Hashem via Chil Yisrael, the loss of our honor, as you see described in the beginning of the kina, various elements. But I'd like to look at the overall structure. The commentaries note, and if you have the art scroll one, they go on at length about this at the footnote at the bottom, that there's actually a complicated structure here. I'm not going through all the elements of the structure. But you can see as you look at it verse by verse, there are 8 verses followed by a tefillah, a prayer at the end. And each of the verses has 6 lines that start with one of the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So verse 1, they all start with a samach. Verse 2, they all start with an ayin, and then they work their way, hey, sadi, kuf, resh, all the way till you get to tav. You also see an opening word that begins before that, starts with a different letter. And each of those opening words, shavas for the first one, nafla for the second one, al for the third one, each of those opening words is drawn from one of the last 8 sentences in Eicha. So he's counting down to the end. So his first verse begins with Shavas, which is taken from the 8th to last sentence in Eicha. And then he has 6 lines that start with the letter Samach, which is the 8th to last letter of the alphabet. And then he goes to the next verse in Eicha, and the next letter in the alphabet, and so on to the end. It's an interesting structure. But what is he trying to do? What is his point in this countdown of the last 8 letters? So when you look at the last 8 psukim in Eicha, you find that there are actually 2 sets of 4. First, you find 4 verses that describe our grief, and then you find 4 verses that call to Hashem, that call to Hashem to bring us back. And Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, as a mekonein, adds depth to those lines. So that the first 4 speak about our grief. Shavas misos limenu, our joy is lost. Nafla teres roshenu, our crown has fallen. Alzaya daveli benu, our heart grieves for this. Shualim hilchubo, there are foxes on Har Habayit. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir adds imagery here. He adds in these lines the longing for messages and visions of divine salvation that Zechariah ben Berechia had. The glory of our entry into Israel at Gilgal. He calls the image to mind of Yoshua and the Jews crossing the Yarden. Remember the glory of the Yamsuf,
crossing through the sea when we left Mitzrayim, we acknowledge our sin of Shiloh, how we brought about the destruction of that first Mishkan. It describes Hashem bringing the Assyrian invasion, us crying out, Hashem not listening. Sakosa Mishkan Mishkos Devirai, it imagines Hashem cloaking himself so that he will not see the Beis HaMikdash he shared with us. Each line of these four, the Mekone looks through the sentence in Eicha and says, how can I make this more dramatic? What image can I give you that's going to be more powerful and evocative? That's part one of what Rabbi Elazar HaKalir does here, to bring those images. But the other thing that he does with the last four lines is even more striking. When we look at the last four lines in Eicha, we find, as I said, a tefillah to Hashem to bring us back. Ata Hashem le'olam teishei kisacha l'dor v'dor. Hashem, you exist forever. You're around forever. Lama l'netzach tishkachenu. Why will you forget us forever? Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. Hashem, bring us back. Katzafka aleinu ad me'od. Haven't we suffered enough? And while that is a heartrending plea, there's something I think that's a little bit, not disingenuous, that's too strong a term, but something that's not quite genuine there. The person who has just suffered a loss is not yet ready to say, bring us back. That's not the first feeling of someone who has just had his whole life ripped away from him. You've just had the Beis HaMikdash torn away. The Romans have massacred us. The Babylonians have massacred us. Pick your era for whatever catastrophe we most closely remember. That person is not really ready for that. And I think Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is aware of it. And so in his commentary on the last four lines, he too has a tefillah. But his tefillah is quite different. He describes, Hashem, you brought Gibeon against us. You brought Arabia against us. They were brutal to us. Ruach HaPeinu, you let them murder King Yoshiyahu. You sent us harsh messages via Yechezkel. And so, he says, fulfill your promise, Hashem, and destroy Edom. Punish those who harmed us. Make them drunk with their punishment. Whereas the tefillah found at the end of Eicha is bring us back. The tefillah found at the end of Shabbat Suru Meni is a tefillah of punish our enemies. Do to them what they did to us. Which I think is ultimately the human instinct of the person who has just been destroyed. This is what a Mekonein is meant to do. To make our grief more vivid with dramatic language and visualizations. To tap into the emotions that the mourner feels and bring them to life. As we read through the Kinos, aided by the translations and the commentaries and the Kinos books as well as those offered by our speakers, again, as Rabbi Karapkin said, the magic isn't in the words themselves. Use the English to take advantage of the language that's been explained. May our hearts be drawn by the images that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir and the other Mekonein bring, and may we so be sensitized to what we have lost.